Welcome to All for Business podcast, hosted by the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance. Our goal with this show is to gather leaders from across the Lynchburg region in one place to talk about business, leadership, how our guests have found themselves here today, and much, much more. So, pop in your headphones, turn the volume up, and get ready. This is All for Business. On today's episode of All for Business, we're launching a new series with Leadership Lynchburg, the award-winning leadership training arm of the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance. Listen in to the Around the Table series to learn how to have tough conversations on issues such as race, equality, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and much more. Given that these issues are timely and societal events change on a daily basis, it's important to note that this episode was taped on April 15th, 2021.
Well, good day to everyone. Welcome to Around the Table, bringing leadership to real conversations about real topics of our day, brought to you by Leadership Lynchburg. Leadership Lynchburg is a nationally award-winning community leadership program in Lynchburg, Virginia, offering programming for college students, emerging and mid-career managers, leaders, executives, and alumni of our program. I'm Christine Kennedy, Director of Leadership Lynchburg, and in this series, we'll sit down with leaders, everyday citizens, and subject matter experts to go there on uncomfortable topics. We're starting with something that's not new. We've heard a lot about this over the past year: diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why are we doing that? First of all, to help bring awareness and understanding and appreciation for the experiences of underrepresented populations, to expand a leader's emotional and social intelligence with regard to these topics. And my goal is to lessen the tension in the community by appealing to our audience to bring positive action to the issues of race, bias, and inequity. So, to start, let me just give you our foundation for Leadership Lynchburg. We believe that creating opportunities for healthy conversation builds awareness, trust, and ultimately relationship. Relationships are what can create action. Relationships enable you to go there on difficult topics, trusting that the benefit is greater awareness and mutual understanding. In essence, relationship does create community. So today I am thrilled to have with us Mel Smith and Dr. Muriel Mickles. I've known both of you guys for a while, and based on your backgrounds and expertise, I've asked you if you'd be willing to kick us off. And I know you'll go there because I have built relationships with both of you. So just real quickly, can you introduce yourself so the audience knows who you are, where you work, and perhaps why you agreed to join us today to have these important conversations? So Dr. Mickles, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Christine. I'm Muriel Mickles, and I'm the Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs at Central Virginia Community College. Why did I agree to do this? Number one, because Christine is a fabulous young woman, and I just want to support her in every way that I can, but also because I am one that promotes diversity, equity, equality at the college, in my community, and wherever I can. So I am I'm very delighted to be part of this conversation.
And I'll point out you're also an alumnus, distinguished alumnus of our Leadership Lynchburg program. So
exactly.
Glad to have a member of the family with us. Mel, please introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Mel Smith, and I have the wonderful honor of being the Director of Diversity and Inclusion at Genworth Financial, headquartered out in Richmond. Why did I agree? Who can say no to Christine? honestly, education is key. We heard that when we were younger, but it trickles up to what we are doing now. And I really believe that the more people we talk to, the more people we educate, the easier the journey.
Yeah, so true. So true. All right. So let's just jump right in because we're not going to waste some time. Muriel, you've been involved in issues of color for a long time. First of all, you faced them, right, in your own life. But we're at a time in history where we can really begin to make some changes, you know, because of some of the negative that has happened. We have an opportunity in time, right, to make some change. But before we can do that, we have to make it safe to even talk about this. I think sometimes people are dancing around issues or afraid to offend, right? So let's talk about how to make it safe to have, to put these uncomfortable topics on the table. How would you suggest the viewers and the listeners could expand their knowledge of these topics and make it safe to go there?
Thank you, Christine. First of all, we got to work on conversations. We got to work on talking and active listening and promoting an understanding of one another. We are not so incredibly different, basically, but there are things that we need to understand about one another so we can be more accepting. We need to be able to air our different views in a safe environment that is respectful, that is trusting, and one where all views are welcome. It's got to be an environment where individuals feel comfortable to go there, to talk about those difficult situations and to answer those difficult questions. One thing to do to help with that safe environment is setting your ground rules before you start the conversation and make sure that everyone agreed to those ground rules. And what you do is you actually just go down the list and say things like, you know, let's be respectful. Everybody will have an opportunity to speak. Everybody will have an opportunity to be heard. We will listen. We will not interrupt. We will not use language that is disrespectful or that's going to be offensive or hurtful to anybody. And the whole point of these conversations is, again, in a safe environment. So even the most timid individuals in the environment have an opportunity to speak. But one of the things I think to set the tone is to set that safe environment, give those ground rules, and then you, the facilitator, will have to model what you expect out of your citizens, out of your participants.
Yeah. Let's talk about one-on-one, because in a group setting, that's easy. You can take a flip chart. You can write your ground rules. So you and I are having a conversation. We're not doing a flip chart, but I know you well enough. And I want to sit down and I want to talk about some uncomfortable things. So I might start with Muriel. I'm curious. I have some questions. I don't want to offend you, but I feel safe enough with you to ask these that you won't be offended that I'm asking on behalf of other white people, right? Let's just practice this for a minute, because this is something I get often, and I know you'll be able to help allies maybe by answering this question. So here's a question. We see this on social media, and we see it in small groups having, I would say, water cooler conversations. And the issue is, Black lives matter. Why don't all lives matter?
That is an excellent question. Why do all lives matter?
Why do Black lives matter versus blacks? Yeah.
Oh, I got you. I understand. What we would look at, we would talk about what is going on in that we see in the media today. The media is just inundated with issues and challenges that are going on in the Black community. I would reiterate to begin with, you are right, all lives matters. But right now there is a certain segment of this population that's having a very difficult time in our society today. We need to look at the fact that all people need to be created, all people are created equally, but they need to be treated equally. But right now, I would let you know that, as you know and I know, the facts already dictate that there's a certain segment who happen to be Black that are having a very difficult time in our society today. And we need to recognize that this is a challenge. We need to recognize that there is a problem. And then we cannot take care of the problem. We cannot solve the problem without fully addressing it and looking at it as it really is, being very truthful, very honest, very upfront, and just very real.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
Christine, if I can I comment on that statement? Yeah. Because I have a funny little story that helps explain the Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. Let's say you live in a community or you're in a cul-de-sac and one of the houses is on fire and the fireman comes to put out that house and they're spraying it with water. Do you walk up to the fireman and say, all of these houses matter? You don't.
Okay.
So it's the timing and the urgency of what's going on that's pushing the Black Lives Matter movement to the front. It's not Black Lives Matter and others don't. It's Black Lives Matter and we're bringing attention to it because people haven't paid attention to it in the past. So it's not, and I'm gonna steal some of my thunder about another question. It's not a zero sum game. It's not we gain and you lose. It's we want everyone to gain. So I'm sorry, I just had to jump in and tell you that little story.
That is such a great word picture and an analogy that is relevant, that helps people understand it. So I appreciate you stepping in. And that's something that, you know, we hear that rhetoric often from people that are either naive or don't want to consider the plight that our friends are facing, or even foes, because quite frankly, we still have an issue. This is bringing out the issue of prejudice that still exists today, which is haunting me, honestly. But no, I appreciate that that word picture. So Mel, I'm gonna stay with you for a minute, because you're in the field of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You've been in this field long before, you know, May of 2020 happened. Can you talk about what does civil discourse look like and how do we do it well? How do we start having these conversations? Muriel talked about ground rules, which I think are great, but what else can you give us to equip us to start having hard conversations and how to not be offended and not offend?
So this is when we pull people together to have these conversations. And I call them the seat wiggling conversations because everyone's uncomfortable. What needs to happen up front? State up front, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation.
Right.
You have the ability or you have the option to participate or not, right? That's a big thing, option. So think about the COVID vaccine. It hurts. When you get the stick, it hurts. Maybe the next day you're down for the count. You are out of it. But the day after that, you're much better. And going forward, you're protected. So if you think about things that hurt, that benefit you, you can frame your conversation around that. The another key thing in having these conversations is the purpose of this conversation. Why are we having this conversation? Sometimes people are looped into these conversations and they don't know why they're there. You're like, well, why are we here? The purpose of this conversation is to do X. And studies even show now that businesses benefit monetarily because they have these open forums for people to have these conversations. It's not us versus you. It's not you're bad and we're good. It's an education and it's uncomfortable. And you just need to let people know that.
That's right.
That's a good question. What's important is upfront at the beginning of the conversation, you need to state, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation and you'll see people wiggle or faces will turn up. But if you think of the COVID vaccine, I'll use that as an example. When you get the stick, it hurts, right? And the next day you're uncomfortable. You're down for the count. But then the following day from that, you are better. And then you're protected from there on. So by having that uncomfortable moment, it was better for you. The purpose of this conversation needs to be stated up front too, because people are brought into these conversations and they don't know why they're there. And that's a losing battle. So you need to say upfront, we're having this conversation because some of the employees don't feel comfortable at work. So people know, oh, this is what we're gonna be talking about. And then I said this before is it's not a zero sum game. We're not gaining and you're losing. Everyone's getting better. And there's business cases for companies doing better financially because they have these forums for employees to come in and have these conversations. Now employees feel comfortable at work and they are more productive. Now, how do we not offend? You just have to agree to disagree. They're two sides of every coin. You don't have to agree with what I say, but you just have to understand my standpoint or my where I'm coming from. And I'll take the recent pepper spray police event with the lieutenant, right? The first thing I did was I called my police friend and I said, what happened? And he said, well, Mel, the cop did a lot of things right. There's a lot of things he did correctly. And we have permission to pull you out of the car, or we have permission to break the window, or we have permission to pepper spray. So now I have a different perspective, because I was thinking, oh, here we go again, another Black man under attack. But no, after talking to my law enforcement friend, who I trust, like you said, you have those people you can go to who you trust. He explained to me that the cop did a couple of things right. So now I'm looking at it differently. So you got to understand that we agree to disagree. This is all development and it's all for growth. That's the most important. So how do I not get offended? And I'm trying to wrap it all and get all those questions answered. I got to understand, and you have to understand, that people come to you with these questions. They don't know the answers. So they are coming from a place of learning. So every time someone says something to me that might make me wiggle a little bit, I'm like, well, it's better that I teach you than you walk away not knowing, or you use your information incorrectly, or you get the information from an improper source. So
that's so good. And you know, I love, I heard a couple things. You know, we say in Leadership Lynchburg, value the voice. Like, you may have a different opinion, but you have to value the voice. And that it's coming from a place, like you said, of either misunderstanding, they don't know, and you have an opportunity to help them understand. But something else you said, which I thought was very interesting, you could have gone off and gone on social media and posted what you thought about pepper spray and the police. You know, how many people do that, right? But instead, you chose to be curious. You were an investigative reporter with a friend that you trusted, that you could ask that question to. And so for our listeners, I think it's just really important, you know, value the voice and seek to understand, right? Like, ask the right questions to the right people, right? Instead of just posting opinions. That's so good. So good. All right, Muriel.
Yes.
I see you, and I've known you for, I don't know how many years, a while. I see you as a woman of grace and strength and wisdom. Can you talk about how in your own life you have handled issues where you have felt slighted, overlooked, or even been offended by the actions of others? Because, you know, you don't get a PhD at, I'm sure, the age you got your PhD without coming up through the ranks being offended in some way, personally or professionally. Can you give us some examples of that and how you handled?
Well, when I look back, Christine, I don't even know which example to pick because there's so many of them. But you asked about being slighted or feeling like I've been slighted or whatever. Those things have happened to me in as I have gone through my educational journey, my professional journey, my personal journey, you know, just being in this world. But one thing that I have found is that many times I try to understand that, like Emil said, many people don't know any better. They say things, they do things, they have no idea that these things may be offending to you. So you have to take an opportunity to help them to gain knowledge, to expand their knowledge base about you or about your culture or whatever the case may be. Again, I feel like open communication is absolutely the best thing that you can do with an individual who has offended you. And you let them, you be honest. You be very honest, you be transparent, you be communicative, but you also try your best to keep the emotion out of it. Because once the emotion get in and take over, then unfortunately there's no work being done. So you need to go to the individual, sit down and let them know when you did this or when you said that, or I felt slighted here. Let them know that. And many times, not only does that create a stronger bond between you and the individual that you're talking with, but what it does for them is it helps them to understand These are things you need to think about, not only for me as an African-American woman, but there are other minorities or other different people out there in the world that you need to be a little bit more sensitive about what you say and what you do. But my biggest thing is transparent communication in a respectful environment where we can just sit down, share our views, share our issues, and then work through them. And like I said, and yeah. Try to keep the emotion out of it. Otherwise, you will not get the work done.
Which may mean you have to pause and not go into that office right when that happens, right? You might need to, yeah. Mel, what about you? Uncomfortable conversations in your past and how you've handled it, and you're on mute.
I think I try to approach everything or every conversation that I know is gonna be squirmy from an educational point of view. I try to remove my passions, my emotions out of the conversation. I try to be clear with the objectives of the conversation, or like I said, the reason that we're having this conversation. And I am a solutions focused person. So I try to end the conversation on a solution. I'm not afraid to talk to people. I was in learning and development first and a trainer for a long time. So I don't have that problem. I could walk up to a stranger and start talking. So I don't have that problem. But when I do, like I said, I like to frame it because everyone's not at the same space. So someone might be extremely offended. So I try to keep it factual, actual, right? So that I'm not projecting any of my feelings into the conversation, because that could be toxic. And people will shy away from those type of conversations. But when they understand, oh, Mel is trying to educate me, then maybe it'll be an easier path.
Yeah, that's so good. All right, so Leadership Lynchburg made a commitment right after George Floyd that we were not going to just talk about it. We were going to do something about it. Hence, here we are, right? We're starting these kind of conversations. But our goal, as I stated in the beginning, is to build healthy relationships that lead to positive action. So final question for both of you all. Mel, what do you think we can do as leaders in our organizations and communities and as a whole? Like, what can I personally do to bring about solutions to diversity, equity, and inclusion? Because it's so big, right? Like, I can't fix the police department. But what can I do as a leader, as an influencer, in whatever circle, right, that you're in?
So whenever I start to talk about leadership training, I always talk directly to the leaders and I say this. One, you need to understand the journey. People say it all the time. We're on a different journey. Everybody's a different road of their journey. As a leader, I need to see the journey. What does that mean? Where are we going from or to? Where are we trying to get? And I use a maturity model to define the journey. And like, say, section one of the maturity model is compliance. We do this for compliance. All the way out to section five, we do this to be the trend-setting organization. We're moving the needle. That's the journey. So now I'm clear with what my task is at hand. The second part you can do personally, you can start today, is you can start to do some self-reflection. And I know it sounds corny. Emotional intelligence is extremely important, and you need to understand yourself. That means looking at your biases and identifying those, because until you understand yourself, you can't start to help anyone, because you may be riddled with biases and your decisions and your movement may be based on those biases. So until you understand that as a leader, then you can't move the needle. So you start to educate yourself, you start to look at your empathy, your sympathy, you start to look at your biases, you start to look at your diversity of thought. How do you think? How do you feel? Then you can start down this road to help others. And then the third part of this is external education. You start getting training around microaggressions. You start getting training around intersectionality. You start getting training around the things that will be in this realm that you will have to deal with. So now you're okay and you're ready to learn, and then you start that learning, then you can reach out to others and help bring them along. And I say it can't work unless you do it that way. That's the Mel Smith's treatment to helping the D&I struggle.
Yeah, I love that. So real quick, before I move on to Muriel to answer that same question, Is there a good resource you would suggest to our audience on how do I even begin to uncover my biases? Like, where do I start with that?
I always lean on that Harvard IAT, which is the implicit bias test. There's a series of tests on that website where you can go and test your biases. And funny enough, I test my bias around age, and I don't like to be around older people. So they give you results, and I was like, I love old people, but it's not that I don't like them. It's that I'm biased towards younger people. That means I might move in the direction of a younger person. So that could be detrimental. Like, say, for instance, when I'm hiring, if I get a slate of candidates and some of them are old and some of them are young, because of my bias away from older people, I may not hire them. So now I can start working on that and start looking at the hiring slate. And so that's a good place to start.
I love that. Okay. Harvard implicit bias test. There's a website for that. That's great. All right, Mira, what about you? What do you suggest that we can do to start moving the needle, and what can a person do personally?
And I love what Mel said about knowing your own biases. Now, a lot of us think that others have biases, not us. But I want you to know every one of us has biases. So know yourself, know what things are triggers for you, because we all have them, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our culture, color, doesn't make any difference. Also, the training, the education, I agree with that 150%, but then you've got to be proactive in the journey, so to speak. You've got to understand, you've got to communicate. Once you have an understanding about how to have these difficult conversations, then you got to have them. You're going to have to volunteer sometime, reach out to opportunities that come your way to help with the understanding of these of what's going on with us. You've got to be, as you move along with this, don't forget to always be respectful, but it's going to take patience. All of us are not at the same place. So many of us, you might look at them when you're working with them and you think, oh my goodness, you know, they are not where I am. But be patient, be understanding. Just, it's going to be a slow process. It's not one that's easy. And you may even have to have the conversations more than once. But once you have educated yourself, once you've looked at your biases, once you are ready to make that step, then I feel like take on the responsibility of being the catalyst for change in your community.
Just so good. So good. Wow. These have been, what a great way to kick off our Around the Table series. And Mel and Muriel, thank you for kicking us off. I may be calling you down the road as we hit on some of these other topics where I think your voice would be valuable at the table. Everyone that's tuning in, stay tuned for our next session. We're going to be speaking with other leaders to discuss things like the impacts of the absent father on Black male leadership, what that does to a society. We're going to be talking to the police about equity and community engagement and how national issues are impacting local communities. And if you have topics that you'd like to discuss around the table, feel free to email me at ckennedy@lynchburgregion.org or message me on LinkedIn or Facebook. Let's continue to bring important and perhaps uncomfortable conversations to the table to raise the lid on our leadership. Thanks for joining us today. Y'all be well.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of All for Business podcast, hosted by the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance. The Alliance is a Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development organization serving the Lynchburg region and over 750 member organizations. To learn more about what we do in our other programs, please visit lynchburgregion.org. See you next time.